Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the very haunted Carey House Hotel and a very snarky ghost.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it sure is. And if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. So call in anytime, 855-853-4802. And you can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show, you'll get advanced episodes, access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gordon, what's up with you today?
Well, you used the word snarky. And yeah. I'm trying to think in my head, what's a good definition for snarky? So you're going to have to tell me what you think snarky is.
I'll just look it up and tell you what the Merriam-Webster
Are you meaning I'm going to go sarcastic?
Yes.
Does that sound like this? Maybe?
And I'm using their word, critical or mocking in an indirect or sarcastic way.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yes, a snarky ghost. But what's great about this episode, I think, is that there are two stories. And they are both haunted hotel stories.
I love haunted hotels so much.
Not that I love to stay in them, but I am kind of fascinated by them.
I am totally fascinated.
Because we've stayed in a few over the years, quite a few actually, like mm-hmm. the Palmer House in Chicago. And yeah. then we stayed in L.A. at, were you? No, I can't remember who was on
I
that
did
trip.
Stay in a creepy one in L.A.
The old mm-hmm. one where the
that
first
athletic club or whatever.
The first
downtown.
Academy Awards were there. What was that one? It was an old, really awesome looking hotel.
Yeah.
And I swear you were with me.
We stayed in one in like Des Moines.
Oh, that was haunted elevator.
Yeah.
And we've told that story
that
before.
That had a bellman,
yeah.
right? That road, what that was.
But
on
it was
the
so funny because we've told that story before. But Kathy and I went up there for a Zac Brown Band concert, and and we got this hotel, and we check in, and we go over to take the elevator up to our room, and they were doing some renovations at the same time we were there at this. And it was a historic hotel. It was probably built like early 1900s ish. I'm going to guess. I don't remember now.
Yeah.
So we walk up to the elevator, and before we could press the button, the door opened. So we're like, oh, awesome. So we get in, go up to the room. Then I think we went out to dinner, come back. The door opens again, go up to our room. We're like, well, that was weird. So then we go to the concert, we come back, and I say to, and I remember there was a bunch of drunk kids. They must have gone to the concert too. And We go up to the elevator, and I remember telling Kathy, if that door, the elevator door opens again, I'm going to shit my pants. And we walk up there, the elevator door opened again. So each time we walked up, it wasn't like there were sensors or anything. This is a hotel. It wasn't that kind of renovated. And so the next day, we take the elevator downstairs, and it seems like something weird happened. I don't remember.
Yeah, it does seem like we had another weird experience.
But we walk out of the elevator, and there was this case with old mementos from the hotel. And right there was like a calling card that the elevator guy would give you. And it's like, hi, I'm your friendly elevator man. And it had his name on it. And it was like, whoa, that was a ghost of Elmer or whoever it was.
Yeah.
He had an old-timey name. But it was so funny. Every time we went to that elevator, the doors opened on their own.
Yep.
Yeah.
They did.
It was kind of
cool. And the room
though.
Was creepy, I thought.
Yeah, because they had not renovated that room at all. And it was big, and it needed mm-hmm. renovations. And
mm-hmm. And I stayed in one in Wichita that I thought was creepy, downtown.
The Drury.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that one is haunted. That one is notoriously haunted. Everybody says that's haunted. And one of my friends worked there for years, and he has all kinds of stories of hauntings from that hotel.
Oh.
All kinds of stories of what guests have told him,
mm-hmm.
and just lots of hauntings.
Yeah, I stayed there one time, and you know, I wouldn't say that I had anything big. I just felt like someone was watching me, mm-hmm. like when I'd walk down the hall. Like, you know, a couple times I think I even kind of turned around to look because I felt like somebody was there, but there wasn't anything. You know,
and there's just so many hotels, especially, you know, like when you go to a city, like when Kathy and I go to Chicago every year, you know, if we stay downtown, which is where we want to stay, or, you know, Michigan Avenue area, all of those are going to be old buildings.
Yeah. Even if they've renovated for the hotel, it's still an old building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, all the different, I don't know, the last place that was it, the Acme Hotel we stayed at?
We did. We stayed
I didn't
there.
Feel anything there, and it definitely felt like it could have been haunted, yeah, but I didn't no, pick I didn't up either. Anything at all.
No.
So we'll stay there again next year when we go see the Cubs again.
It was a good one. It was a nice hotel. I liked it.
They were super friendly, too.
Yeah.
But I thought this was fun that there was two stories that I came across, both of hotels, so I decided to put them together. Okay, so let's go to our first story. It's a caller. Here it is.
This is Emily H. calling from California. Again, it's been a while since I've called. I wanted to tell a story today about the time my husband and I went to the historic Carey House Hotel in Placerville, California. It has a really dark past. It's too crazy to even go into all the way, so I'll let whoever's interested look that up. But, you know, we went on this tour. There was a tour that was like going around that they do a lot. It's pretty well known about it if you look it up. It's called Hangtown Tour. Like, it's a walking tour. We just did the one with the hotel instead of going, because they take you to a haunted coffee shop and stuff as well. We just did the hotel. And while we were there, they were using the voice box with all the static and stuff, and the voices come across. And we're in the most haunted room at the hotel, in the dark, sitting in the dark, all the group, and all of a sudden, like, we hear there's all this stuff coming across, and it says, I can't remember what the swear word that came across was, if it was like fuck or shit or something. It said something derogatory, and like the tour leader was like, hey, there's women here, you don't talk like that in front of women. And the next thing that we hear is a clear woman's voice from the box saying, to each our own, sir. It was just, I'm getting chills right now, even thinking about it. It was crazy. But it was just, the energy in that room was so intense. It was just, you know, it was, I don't know if it's just suggestion or that we knew we were in the haunted room. But hearing that snarkiness come out of the ghost the voice box thing, was insane, and it is definitely worth the experience going there. And like anybody who's in that area, definitely I'd say, hey, go. The group leaders are awesome, and they know so much. And like I said, it's just, you know, it was a very interesting feeling place. That wasn't the only thing. There was also somebody they called a whistler that kept coming across, and I think it was before anybody even had been told about that. They said, I'm hearing whistling. And the leader was like, oh my God, it's him. So, and he told us about like the guy that used to stay there that they call the whistler. They hear the actually, because they had headphones on, so we didn't all get to hear it. But the woman who was wearing the headset could hear the whistling coming across on the thing. It was just from the voice box. It was crazy. I was just like, oh, and you know, unless she was a plant or something from in the group, I don't know how, you know, she would know that to tell us she's hearing whistling. But it was a pretty intense experience. Yeah, so thank you for playing my story. I look forward to hearing it on the show. I'm a huge fan. I listen to you guys like for hours all day while I'm working on homework because I'm in my master's program working to be a therapist. So thank you for the entertainment and the laughs. It's been really helpful during this crazy time. I appreciate you guys a lot. Thank you. Bye.
So I looked up this Carey Hotel. And it is definitely, there are definite reports of this hotel being haunted, and a lot of them.
And, a lot of them.
Yeah, and there was in the 1850s, there was a hotel there, the El Dorado Hotel and Saloon, and it burned down. And then the Carey Hotel, was built on that same spot. And so I think it's been around for, you know.
It says it was built in 1857.
Yeah. So it's been around a long, long time, and there it looks like there have been reports of the paranormal there for years. And this one's like, there's a little girl entity. There's a Mr. Arnold Wiederman, and I think they lived at the hotel. And it says during a big flu epidemic, he died. His wife and daughter moved back to rejoin the rest of their family in California. And so they were comfortable. So I think they lived there.
Well, it could be. Maybe it was run more as like long-term, you know, rooms.
And I think a lot of times people did that. Those rich people just lived in hotels. They'd get like a floor or a suite. Mm-hmm. And then there's one guy who was killed there, a gambler murdered there. And then there was a lot of prostitutes there. So there's, I don't know, there's lots of reports of hauntings at that place. That would be kind of interesting.
And she said that there was a ghost tour that they went on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when I looked at the site for the hotel, I didn't see anything about ghosts or ghost tours on the site. But maybe when you get there, they have things you can sign up for like that.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes those places, some of them embrace it. And mm-hmm. they kind of do them on a regular basis. Some hotels...
Like Eureka Springs.
Yeah. Some hotels will do it for October. You know, or maybe they'll do one or two a year, or they'll let a paranormal investigation team come in once or twice a year. So then some of them, they embraced it for a long time, and then they got new owners, and they don't want to do those things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be any of those. But I don't know. That one definitely, like, lots of people say it's haunted.
Okay, I didn't quite understand the voice box.
So it's a spirit box. So it's just that it sounds like... And then it's to pick up.
Okay, so but she brought it with her.
Well, I thought that the people doing the tour turned on the spirit box.
Okay, I missed that part. That part I didn't quite understand.
Yeah,
okay,
so
okay,
I think whoever was doing the tour
had
the spirit box, and so then the spirit box. It's interesting. Like I did an episode of the Grave Talks. It's called Haunting at Blue Hill. In Blue Hill, Nebraska, and they did a spirit box. It's like, and then it goes safe, and I'm like, oh my god, it sounds like somebody was in the room. Did that come across in the spirit box? And you could tell by their reactions. They were like, what the hell? Because it was plain as day. So sometimes you'll hear that, like, shit, whatever the cuss word was that she had heard. And so sometimes it can be just plain as day. You can hear these words on them. So I've got another one about a haunted hotel. So this one is about a haunted hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, where at in Las Vegas?
You're going to find out.
Okay.
It says, my name is Jill. I'm writing in from Alberta, Canada. I love hearing stories from others about their experiences with the paranormal. I thought I would send in mine since it changed my outlook on the paranormal forever.
Oh.
I've been a frequent traveler to Las Vegas for the shows and gambling and never really thought about hauntings or ghosts there until 2006 when my friend and I shared a room that shattered my Las Vegas outlook forever. We booked our hotel based solely on how cool it looked. The Luxor Hotel.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's the one shaped as a pyramid, as many people know. When we arrived, the check-in desk offered to move us to a room in the tower, but we were excitedly set on our reservation for a room in the main building so we could use the inclinator elevator. So at the Luxor, if you've never been there, it's a pyramid, so the elevators don't go straight up and down. They kind of... go at an angle. And I can't... Yeah. Did you and I go in there? Who did I go in the Luxor
Well, I've
with?
Been in there a
did
few times.
Did we stay there?
No, okay. I've never
I don't
stayed
remember
there. But I've been
there
just to see it.
But
you
I
know.
Remember going on the elevator.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Because a lot of times you can't use the elevator because you have to have the room to get up to that floor, but...
Yeah, but I think at the Luxor, because it's so unique, they let people...
Yeah, they must have.
Do a little bit, yeah.
Or maybe I stayed there, but I don't remember that. Everything felt normal as we entered the elevator and headed to our room on a high floor. As we exited the elevator, that fun mood changed. There in the open hallway seemed cold and silent. My friend grinned and bent over the half wall that looked down upon the atrium of the Luxor. See, all that sounds familiar to me, like I've done that.
Uh-huh.
She called me to look over, but I couldn't. Oh, maybe we were, maybe, you know what? This might have been what it was. I don't think we were staying there. Somebody else we met in Las Vegas was staying there, like Chris, your son, or they had rooms there.
Yeah.
Because I remember being in a room, but I don't remember staying there. So that might explain it. She called me over to look, but I couldn't. I suddenly felt sick in my stomach and refused to walk near the half-open hallway. I could feel myself clinging to the solid wall where the hotel room doors were. When we entered the room, it was spacious. It was a suite with a whirlpool tub under a window and a living room that was separated by a wall with an open entrance. The room, however, felt cold and dark. We turned on as many lights as we could to brighten it up, and it seemed to help a bit, but not much. We decided to get ready right away and head to the club. The bathroom was just off from the foot of the beds and was big, almost like an echo-sized room. I placed my makeup bag on the counter along with my friend and turned some music on to loosen up. As we applied our makeup, a chill came into the room. It was as if something or someone was in there with us, watching us. It gave me a sinking feeling of like what we were wearing and talking wasn't something it liked. I turned to my friend and asked if she felt anything weird in the room. She just turned to me and nodded, but said nothing. We grabbed our purses and headed out. We arrived back to the room about 2:30 a.m. Upon opening the door, a cold breeze blew through my hair. I stopped. My friend, however, walked past me and headed to the thermostat. She chalked up the coldness to the air conditioner and turned the heat up. We headed to the bathroom to remove our makeup, and as soon as we entered, the lights popped out, and the only one remained working was above the vanity. I decided that my makeup could stay on, and I walked out of the bathroom. My friend stayed getting ready for bed. I walked into the living room area, turned on the TV, and I couldn't get any channels. So I turned it off, sat the remote on the couch. I climbed into my bed, told my friend on her way out of the bathroom to turn the heat up. She shook her head and said it was up as high as it could go. The room suddenly felt like a freezer. As we chatted a bit, our eyes closed and we both dozed off. Not long after that, there was a loud bang. We both quickly sat up in our beds to hear the TV in the other room turn on. "Didn't you turn it off?" my friend asked me. "Yes," I said. "Well, turn it off again," she said. As much as I didn't want to, I knew she wouldn't go turn it off. So with a deep breath, I jumped out of my bed, ran to the other room, turned off the TV, ran back to my bed, throwing the covers over my head. I started to giggle uncomfortably while trying to justify what had just happened. I told myself this was just a funny thing and not to think too much about it, but just as I thought that, the TV turned on again. "Go turn it off," my friend yelled at me from under her sheets, but I couldn't. My body was frozen. I couldn't move. I could barely answer her. I quietly whispered to her, "The remote is right here." "What in the hell?" She threw the covers off, grabbed the remote, and turned the TV off. As she got back in bed, she yelled, "Fuck off." And with that, the TV turned back on. At this point, we were both under our covers in complete panic. Now, I've watched hundreds of horror movies and thought of myself as the one who would be tough in a situation like this. But this was terrifying. I didn't move an inch, and I could feel tears streaming down my face. Then the TV turned off. I could sense someone standing at the end of my bed watching me. It was then followed by pressure at the end of my bed like someone was sitting down. I knew it was staring at me, and the environment felt suffocating. It wasn't much longer that I awoke from under my sheets. The room was warmer now, but a dark feeling remained. I looked over at my friend. It was then that we decided we were leaving. We packed up quickly at 6 in the morning and headed to the front desk. They were only in their room sleeping from 2:30 to 6. That's enough. It says, when I told them we wanted to switch rooms immediately, she asked if the room had a problem. My friend said it was due to the broken thermostat. Oh, said the front desk lady, we can have that fixed right away if you like. It's haunted, I blurted out. She looked up at me, double-checking our room number. Not a problem. We'll move you to another room on another floor. I got the feeling she knew exactly what I was talking about, but wasn't allowed to engage guests with it. After that night, I Googled hauntings at the Luxor. Safe to say, I will never be staying there again. Thank you for all you do and the amazing stories people tell. I feel better knowing this kind of thing does exist and other people believe. And that's from Jill. So I immediately looked up hauntings at the Luxor. And that's a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now think about this for a second. Because of like the curse of the pharaohs.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, and then there's been a lot of deaths there at the Luxor, apparently.
Really?
Uh-huh. It's rumored to be haunted by at least 5 ghosts. The ghosts include 5. The ghosts include 3 construction workers and 2 guests who reportedly committed suicide by jumping from the hotel's open hallways.
Oh.
Guests say they often feel cold spots in the hallways and they report a feeling of someone breathing on their neck. Some argue that the Luxor was doomed to be haunted before it was even built simply because it is designed like an ancient Egyptian tomb.
Uh-huh. That's what I thought.
Which makes some sense.
Now, it does say in this one that there's multiple rooms seem to be haunted by the same woman with blonde hair.
Which might explain why she's being all judgy. She's looking at the girls getting ready to go out.
And it says that numerous visitors have reported waking up after feeling hands gripped tightly around their necks.
They
wake up gasping for air. And they, you know, wake up, think there's somebody there, but there's no one there.
Now, this says many guests that have chosen to stay at the, is this right, 4,407-room Egyptian-themed resort?
I'll bet that's right. Yeah, I'll bet they have 4,000 rooms there. It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
It
and if they have
huge,
the tower that goes with it, remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just so interesting to me that I never really thought about it being haunted.
See, when you told me Las Vegas, I thought you were going to tell me one of the downtown ones.
Yeah, like one of the old school ones.
Like the Golden Nugget or something.
Yeah, like on Fremont.
Yeah. But this one says that there's a poltergeist room is 30018. That's the number of the room.
So,
this ghost knows no clear sense of personal space. Though I've known a few people like that too. But apparently this ghost is a little bit handsy.
Which could be the ghost sitting on her bed.
Could be. Yeah, I wonder what room they were in. But, you know, it was interesting because when they went to check into the room, into there, they had a room and they said, would you rather be in the tower? Like they themselves kind of said, they didn't want to come right out and say it, that this they'd maybe had complaints about this room, but it was like, maybe you'd rather have the tower. And they're like, no, we booked a suite. We want this nice room. We want to be in the main building, you know? And wouldn't you? Like, if you were going to stay at a nice, you know, casino and, you know, resort in
and
Vegas,
the elevator
you
want to
stay where
cool.
the action is, right? I mean, you don't want to be off in that building over there. Though the older I get, maybe I do want to be off in that building over there. But, you know, like, usually you kind of want to be where the action is and stuff. So I get it. Like, we paid for this nice suite. We want the nice suite. But they did kind of, I think, try to just quietly say, maybe we have a nice room over in the tower you guys would like.
I just think that's interesting. But they do say they think that it might just be cursed. And the most popular theory relates to the actual design of the resort.
Well, it kind of makes sense because there are the curses of the pharaoh and things like that, you know.
I don't know. I just never thought about that. But now, I tell you what, Kathy, next time we go to Las Vegas, we're not staying there.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to stay there anyway. But there's also, it says in this one, that Circus was haunted.
I stayed at Circus a really long time ago. Like a long, long, long time ago.
Now, they may be redoing that one. I'm not exactly, it's due for a, you know, a whole new revamp of Circus. You know, for a while they were trying to do this bizarre, weird thing where they were trying to make Vegas family friendly.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work at all, right? So then they had to turn around and do the whole what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas to make it seem adult again, you know, because nobody wants, it's like, I don't want to go to Vegas if it's just a bunch of kids.
I know.
Like, I have no interest in doing that. If I want to go to Vegas, I'm going because I'm an adult and I want to be around other adults, right?
I always thought that was so weird. Who is the what was the advertising company that came up with that great idea and sold it? Yeah. Like, here's a good idea, people.
And people take kids there, but, you know, the idea that it's a town for kids is not really, you know, a thing, I don't think. But anyway, but it says that there's, like it all started, I'll just read this little thing for you. It all started in room 123, where many years ago, a mother and her young son were found dead from apparent murder-suicide. And then it now loud screams and a child's plea for help can be heard coming from that room and the hallway and surrounding areas.
I would hate to hear that.
Yeah. So it sounds like Circus could be another one if people are interested in haunted casinos in Vegas.
I am telling you, I love the haunted hotel stories. So share, if you've got a haunted hotel story, share it with us because I'd really like to hear that.
We love them. We can't get enough of them.
Call it in, 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the complete archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.